Daniel chapter 5, and we're going to read together beginning at that first verse and read down through verse number 12 in preparation for our time together in God's Word. Daniel chapter 5. And we read there, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whiles he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine, and praised the gods of gold, and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof, shall be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in the kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Forasmuch as an excellent spirit, and knowledge, and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Amen. We'll end our reading there and trust the Lord will bless his own word for his name's sake. This is a very powerful scene. This is in many ways a scene of great tragedy, but also a scene of great justice. You see here, as it were, the finger of God writing on the wall, and Belshazzar and the group that was with him blaspheming the name of that God by exalting the name of their gods were smitten to the point where this man, and I love that phrase there, his countenance were changed in him and his lords were astonished. He was so smitten with conviction, so filled with fear that now all of his laughing and gaiety was gone and was replaced with that which no one had seen in him before, to the point that his courtiers were unbelieving at what the change was. In verse 10, it says the queen came in. If you were to read many of the commentaries on this, most would say that doesn't mean his wife. Really, that is perhaps either his mother or his grandmother who came in after the feast had begun. She was, as it says, many believe, the wife of Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, I read one man, a man named Lehman Strauss, who believes that this woman perhaps was even a converted person. Because as you saw the difference that was made in Nebuchadnezzar after he was out in the fields, walking about as a beast, he was, when he was recovered, one who confessed that the God of Israel was the true and living God. If this woman was his wife, as many would believe, the queen mother, she would be one who not only remembered Daniel, but remembered the exploits that were seen throughout the days of Daniel. She would have beheld, perhaps even stood by her husband as he was there confessing, that it was through the life of those that were affiliated with Daniel that she saw the power of God. And she, remembering Daniel, coming in as not a party to the group that was there, but one who was summoned later, says, I don't want the king to be disturbed. Don't take on as you are. There is a man who can let you know what all this is about. The words here in verse 12 that I want to take as our text is a description that is spoken of the servant of the Lord. It says that Daniel was, in the middle of that verse, one who was able to dissolve doubts. In the Eastern countries, this idea of dissolving doubts is oftentimes referred to as the dissolving of knots. In fact, this word actually, doubts, there can be translated knots in certain places. This man was a dissolver of knots. Belshazzar was in a knot. Belshazzar's heart was in a knot. There was a lot about the man that was consumed with his problem and with his circumstance. He was in a knot. But here was one who could dissolve knots. Well, the question we must ask was the description of Daniel, the servant of the living God, as chapter 6 and verse 20 speaks of him. Was he able to dissolve these knots, as it were, by his own wisdom and through his own character? Was he able to undo those tightly woven and complicated matters that afflicted the king by his own prowess? Of course not. You and I would know that there was nothing in Daniel. There was not a part of this man that was able to do for or by himself what was needed in that hour. We might say that any aspect of a servant's ability is but a reflection of that brilliance that lies within his master. Daniel was able to dissolve knots because his God was able to dissolve knots. Daniel was simply showing what was in his own God. And we might say that the description given to Daniel is one that's better given to Daniel's God. He is that true chief and, in fact, sole dissolver of knots. This morning I want us to think on that theme. I want to take that as my title, the dissolver of knots. And I'm not going to preach to you about Daniel this morning. But I want you to think with me about that one whom Daniel served. Before we go any further, though, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Let's all seek our God. And indeed, may we ask Him to come and minister to our hearts and to do within us what is needed for us in this very hour. Our Father and our God, again, we come to Thee in Jesus' name. And we're thankful that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That He is the Master. That He is that one in whom dwelleth all the fullness of God bodily. That in Him is the power of God, that power that dwelleth to such an extent that He's able to lay His life down and then able to take it up again. Lord, we're thankful that in Jesus Christ we have that great physician, We have in truth that one who is able to dissolve the knots of the hearts of His people. And Lord, we would pray that even as we would take up a description that was spoken of one of Thy servants, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt help us to move beyond that today and to simply take that as a description indeed of what the Master Himself does for His people. How He indeed comes and unravels those things that bind. How He dissolves those things that seek to tie up the heart and the mind and the life. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt exalt the Lord Jesus, Lord, through the consideration of Thy Word this morning. Bless us, we pray. Meet with our souls now, we ask. Help me as Thy servant. I ask for the helping and the guidance of the Spirit of God. Bless us, we ask, for Jesus' sake. We pray it in His name. Amen. Perhaps you might wonder, how is it that a man comes to a text like this, or takes a text like this, the dissolving of doubts, the dissolving of knots? Well, I'll tell you. Yesterday, I spent some little time working on a knot. The girls have a kite, and I was moving a few things around in the garage, and I saw the kite on the floor. But then I saw, laying all over the top of the kite, was all the string that we had so nicely wound around the little handle there. I thought, well, I'm just going to take a second and undo this thing so I can get this out of the way. So I started undoing the knot. And I worked, and I worked, and I worked. And I untangled, and I untangled. It was a mess that I thought was going to take just a few minutes. You ask, well, how long did it take you? I'll tell you how long it took. It took as long as it would take for a spider. You know these big spiders that are about like that big? They make their webs like that, and you know, you see them flowing in the breeze in the middle. A spider decided from my neighbor's house to blow his web across. I was standing outside in my driveway. He blew his web across and attached it somehow to my shirt. And then he starts coming across, and it took me, I was standing there so long that that spider could come over, and he was on my shirt, on my sleeve, starting to make his web. You say, now my wife comes out, she says, what are you doing? Well, I said, I'm untangling this knot. You know, she said, well, you're wasting your day. And I said, well, no, it's just, I have to do this. It's something I have to do. I got to do it. And I was becoming emphatic. And I did. I got it, except for the last little bit of it. But I was standing there. You know, it's when you have a mess that's about that big around, and you get it all the way down to you get it to about that big around, you think, I'm going to finish this. You know, I've got it, and I'm going to finish this thing. But one thing that really was, that amazed me, the whole thing, the whole knot was held by one little string, or it was the same string, but it was just one thing that got lapped, looped around everything else that held it all together, and I could not get that one. And if I moved that one, I pulled them apart, and then I start pulling it, and the minute you pull on that string, it pulls them all right back together again, nice and tight. And I was there standing on that, pulling on that string, watching things get tighter and tighter. And I'll tell you what, one thing I noticed about this, after a while, your knots preoccupy you. You can get consumed trying to untie your knots. And I finally got to the point, after, I'm not going to tell you how long, the spider had decided he would have better places to go and a better chance to build a lasting web somewhere else. But after I got all done, I just looked down there and I said, you know what? I am so preoccupied and consumed all for 15 feet of string. There was probably 300 feet of string on this little coil. But for 15 feet, I was there going, I said, this is crazy. So after a while, I finally gave place and surrendered, and I cut out that 15 feet. And my wife comes out, and she was out there, and I said, you know what? And I want you to understand, she was very quick to agree with me. I said, you know what? This is me. I'm looking at this knot, and I said, this is me. And, of course, she agreed right away. A knot. A knot. A knot that was, emblematic I think in many ways of my own heart, as I was thinking of it. And you know what? So many times, and I think you know it well, that so many of us have knots in our lives. And we get all knotted about things that are worthless. They're 15 feet of string. And yet we get ourselves all knotted up about these things. And they're nothing. And we get upset about things that don't matter and will soon be forgotten. And sometimes, I think if you were to look at my mess, you'd see that other knots show up or seem to exist because of the existence of the first knot. You have this knot that's causing all these other little knots. Well, I was standing there thinking to my own self, and, you know, what an object lesson. But when you stop and you think about it, when we think about the knots that we have inside of our own heart, the things that we get bound up with, and you could start a list here and we could speak the rest of the day about the knots that we have within us. Whether it's knots of bitterness, or knots of anger, or knots of fear, or knots of affliction from without, or knots of unbelief, or you know well many of your knots. You don't know them all, and you have to thank the Lord for that. That the Lord is being merciful and not showing you everything that there is to see in your old heart. Otherwise, you'd be despondent, I think. But we oftentimes are nothing but big knots. And what is it usually that we find is the root cause of these things? What is it that gets us all tangled up? Is it not our sin? Is it not because at some point or other we have made an allowance or a place for sin? We have allowed ourselves to pet our bitterness. We've allowed ourselves to embrace our fear. We've allowed ourselves justification for our unbelief. We have allowed ourselves the excuse for allowing those things that the Lord says, thou shalt not. What? You know, under the circumstance, most of the time we'd have to say those things that cause us to stumble are those things that we know are our sins. Those things that are not right before our God. Our text tells us that Daniel, at least it says of Daniel, that he was the dissolver of knots or doubts. And I will admit that in the reference, in the context of this scripture, where it makes this description of Daniel, all that really means is that Daniel was one who was able to understand things. He was one who was seemingly able to unravel the hidden aspects of a problem or a thought or a circumstance that allows it to be brought to light when nobody else could. But when you and I stand in front of this verse, when you and I stand in front of this and say, oh, how many times I find myself in a spiritual knot, or I find myself with an emotional knot, or I find myself with a mental knot. When you and I stand in front of this verse, we would have to say, there is, though, but one who can help me. The reason for that is because the knots that are within us are knots in our heart. And they're not just hard sayings that someone like Daniel would have been dealing with. The knots that we have within our heart are knots of the heart. And what does the Scripture tell us about our heart? Does not Jeremiah 17:9 tell us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Who can know it? Daniel could know. Certainly, he could understand more than any man that was living in that day by the grace and help of God. But who can know your heart? You can't know your heart. I can't know my heart. And again, I say, thank God. But there is one who can and who does know my heart and who is able to undertake. And I say, what we have before us oftentimes in our own souls is not just a matter of great complexity that needs dissolving, but we have matters of deceit and wickedness that needs to be untied. And again, we ask, who can do that? Who can set the mind straight and subdue the heart within us? Who can dissolve the ache and frustration that rises up within us because doubt has had its way with us and our own sin has bound us up within our spirits? Who can with His own hand reach down and cause the powers of earth that are set against us to vanish? Indeed, we might ask, who can set our feet solidly on the water beside Him and cause us to walk where we could never go before? Oh, let us hear those words. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Same idea. The dissolver of doubts. Wherefore didst thou doubt? When the disciples looked out and heard those words, who did they come to the conclusion was this one who could do such a thing? Do you remember those words? Who is this one who cometh to us walking on the water? It is the Lord! It is the Lord! This morning I want to simply take our text and let it be used as but a suggestion of something that we find true of Christ. And that is for us. Not for the problems of a king or a kingdom or a day, but for the problems of the people of God, the knots that they have in their own hearts. Who is that one that can be called? Is there a man in the kingdom, as it were? Yes, there is. His name is Jesus. And I say, Christ alone is able to dissolve the knots that bind my mind and my heart and my life. I have three very simple points this morning. The first I want to go over with you is the need. The need. You and I think you know it right well, are those who suffer from deep spiritual knots so often. But the need is not that there are knots there, but the fact that we cannot dissolve them ourselves. We are not able to undertake to rid ourselves of these things. And let us understand, let us not deceive ourselves. We are not those who can undo the knots of our hearts by continued effort. The one thing that I found out yesterday, the one point of my object lesson here was this: the more I tried, the worse things got. Oh, at the first I thought I was doing some, you know, and I was able to pull out something. But the more I tried, it seemed the worse it got. And you know, it is surprising to me how often we are coached to try to untie our knots. If only you'll do this, if only you'll undertake this, if only you go in this direction, if only you'll employ this method or do this thing, then you'll be able to find those spiritual knots, those heart needs of yours being dissolved. It doesn't work that way. Now, what is absolutely sure, and again, the thing I learned by my object lesson, is that I am unable to undo that which has come upon me because of my own fallen heart. You say, well, what's come upon you, brother? Well, let me just ask you this. Which one of you here can undo the spiritual problem of death? Death has come upon you because of your sin. For as an Adam, all die. You're facing that. Which one of you here can undo that? There is one who did. What about your distrust of God? What about your bent to sin? What about undoing all those millions of situations that have come upon you because of your own rebellion and your own carnality and your own bent to sin? What about those things? Have you been able? Let me ask you this. Have you ever really been able to undo a circumstance that's directly related to your sin? Have you ever been able to go back and undo that? Well, you can go back and you can say, I'm sorry, and you ought to. Contrary to what some may have said, thought I said last week. No, you need to go back and say you're sorry, but can you undo the hurt and the harm that you've done? No, you can't, but there is one who does. There is one who wipes away. We read it in the book of the Revelation. The one who wipes away all tears and all the former things are passed away. He is able to undo the effects of sin. Hallelujah! We have a Savior who can dissolve the knots. Even those things that you look at and you have to hang your head and say, there's no remedy for me in this thing. There's no way that I can undo it. We have one who is the dissolver of knots. We need this one. I was thinking about, I don't know, I guess it's just the way my mind goes. You think about these programs that men put in place and how if you do this or that or the other, you can benefit from it. I was thinking about criminals, you know, when they go into prison, if they behave themselves, they can become part of a early release program. Well, I was thinking, you know, no matter how hard you and I try, we are never going to ever be able to come and be part of a not release program. You can't do it. No matter who tells you, if you'll only employ these certain principles of Christian living in your life, then you'll be able to see your knots untied. You will, through this program, be able to straighten things out for yourself. No, there's no such thing as a not release program. You say, what are you saying? I say you need Jesus. Let me just bring you to a woman. And I know that you are very familiar with this. Let me bring you to a woman who came to realize this. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Mark 5 and 25 says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment, for she said, if I may but touch His clothes, I shall be made whole. Here's a woman who tried it all. Here's a woman who had a knot, if you will. That which was an affliction to her. That which bound her up in her spirit and in her heart and in her mind. That which she could not deal with in life. And she spent everything that she had to try to unravel her knot. And what happened? And so she was nothing bettered, but made worse. Oh, child of God, let me have you underscore this in your mind. If you are one who is trying by your abilities, by your wisdom, by your doings, by your methods, by your spiritual acts, by your good works, by whatever you want to say, if you are trying to employ some method of spiritual warfare even, to undo your knot, you will be nothing the bettered. Because there's only one whose hem you can touch that will dissolve that knot. That which lies within you, that which you wrestle with, there's only one. And His name is Jesus. And notice how simple and how quickly everything changed for this woman. She went through those 12 years of agony, of going through all her resources, of putting herself in the hands of physicians. Nothing worked. But the minute she got to Jesus, He dissolved everything with just a simple little touch. He is the dissolver of knots. She tried, but she couldn't do it. Would you want greater proof than this incident of that woman? I'd say, okay, let's just say, what's the greatest proof that we have that Jesus is the untier of our knots, the dissolver of that which binds us? Oh, I would have you just take a look at a hill, that hill far away, upon which stood the old rugged cross. You know, the thing that ultimately binds us, that thing that is the great power that causes the knot to be pulled so tightly, is indwelling sin within us. But see Calvary. There, Calvary, and the flow from Calvary's cross was that which dissolved the power of sin within me. Only Jesus could go to Calvary. Only Jesus could rescue His sheep. Only He, by the shedding of infinitely pure blood, could undo that claim of death wherein we all are so tightly bound. Our knots are dissolved only by Jesus. And we must be those who, like this woman, come to Him. Again, we might ask, well, what are the knots that we have? Oh, again, I will leave that to you and to the Holy Spirit. Your heart knows what binds. And if your heart doesn't know what binds you up, then I would simply commend to you the words of Philippians chapter 3, where it says, where Paul is talking about pressing on for Christ. And he says there, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Do you need to know what your knot is? Do you need to know what it is that binds up your heart and makes you to be dissatisfied with life and ultimately with your Savior? Do you need to know that? Bring yourself to the Lord. Present yourself to the Lord. He'll let you know. God is not one who is bashful. God is not one who is worried about hurting your feelings by giving you the truth. Praise God, He gives you the truth, but then He can also, on the other hand, be the binder up of your heart after He has to show you what you need to see. You come to the Lord, you present yourself there, He'll show you what the issue is. God is one who often lets His people know by directly placing His finger on their sin. The need. We all have the need, because we cannot dissolve the knots of our hearts and of our spiritual lives ourselves. I want us to pass over now to the second point, and that is, I want us to consider the Helper. I want us to look at the Lord Jesus. Look at Him again with me. See Him dissolving those knots. Again, I say the knots of mind, the knots of heart and emotion, and those knots of life. I want us to look again at the Helper. And as a backdrop for considering how Christ does help us, I want us to consider that situation that we found arising in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 and verse 33. You have there the case of the man with the impediment of speech. And it says there in Mark chapter 7 and verse 33, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. Again, the thing that caught my mind there. Again, if you'll allow for the imagery. And the string of his tongue was loosed. Christ was the dissolver of the knot. But what is there in view here? I want us to see how the Lord Jesus dissolved the knots. I want us to look at the Helper, but I want us to see how He does it. First, look at this with me, if you will, in those verses in Mark chapter 7, verses 33 through 35, it says first that the Lord Jesus looked up to the Father. It says He looked to heaven. He looked to the place where the power of God is shown and evidenced and sent forth. He looked to the hand of His Father. I say, that's what the Lord Jesus is doing now. He is in heaven's glory even now, obtaining for us the help of the Father. And we might ask, what is it then that He can point to? What is it then that He uses as that great tool, if you will, before the Father's throne to gain for us knots untied? I say it's just but one thing. It's His own blood. Child of God, you want to know how your knots, the knots of your own sinful heart are untied, how all those things that bind you up and make you miserable are done away with? Do you want to know what dissolves the fears, the doubts, the unbelief? It is the blood of Jesus pled before the throne for you by a high priest who is pure indeed. The Lord Jesus pleads the merits of His own blood. Oh, let us understand, there is the power of God available for you. You could almost see the Lord Jesus when He was walking there on the water and Peter was sinking. And when he reaches down with his hand and he lifts him up and pulls him up beside himself and says those words, "Wherefore didst thou doubt?" Doubt what? Peter, wherefore did you doubt that the power of God would be at hand for you? Peter, you were walking on the water. You knew the power of God to some extent already. And yet you began to sink because you doubted whether the power of God would be yours in this moment as I stand with you. Well, the Lord Jesus stands with us in heaven. It tells us in Ephesians, does it not, that we are seated with Him in heavenly places? Christ stands beside us as He stood beside Peter there in the water. Wherefore dost thou doubt? Wherefore do you still doubt? In your own soul, will the Lord really help me? Oh, my heart, my soul is so bound up and I'm so miserable. Wherefore dost thou doubt? There's one who stands before the Father's throne pointing to the merits of His own blood. The power of God is yours. The Lord undertakes for you because there's blood there. The second thing I want you to notice from this incident with the man with the impediment of speech is not only did the Lord Jesus look to the Father, but the Lord Jesus spoke the word. He spoke that word, Ephphatha, and the man, the knot, again, a wonderful picture. The knot of the string of the man's tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. He didn't speak partway. He didn't speak stumbling through his words. He spoke plain. Because when Jesus unties a knot, He leaves no knot behind. He doesn't leave just a little one. You see, He can pull it real tight. Well, that's a real small thing. I can deal with that. You know, it's like, you know, sometimes we do those kinds of things. We go part way and it's good enough. No, the Lord Jesus didn't do that. And what I'm simply trying to point out to you, child of God, is this. The Lord often, and rightly so, will use the Word of God to dissolve the knots that so tightly bind our hearts. He said, how do you know that? Well, you can quote this verse with me. I'm sure you know it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Here, don't you have a picture of something that's actually cutting a knot in two, so to speak? The Word of God. I'm telling you, if your heart needs to know the dissolving of your knot, try reading the Word of God. Try hearing the Spirit of God speaking of Christ to you in the Word. And see if your heart doesn't start knowing this is not an issue for Him. This is not something that's too great for Him. Certainly my situation and my need is not too great for Christ. And I say, when your heart or your life is knotted, listen to the Word of God. And then thirdly, I want you to see that the Lord Jesus touched the man at the point of his problem. The hand of God was applied. I simply make of this that here you have the providential intervention of the Lord Jesus on this man's behalf. Does the Lord providentially undertake for His people? Does the Lord seemingly undo the knots of His people's lives by His stepping in? Ask Daniel. It hadn't happened yet, at least chronologically in the book here. It hadn't happened yet, but Daniel would shortly face this. Wouldn't you call a group of men who plot against Daniel and bring his name before the king and say, Daniel has just broken your law, now let him be thrown into the den of lions. So the hole in the den is open and he goes. Wouldn't you call that kind of a knot in life? But what happened? The Lord intervened. God, I'll ask my daughter to help me right here. God just shut the lion's mouth so they could not harm him. God can shut the lion's mouth. God can shut the lion, the old devil that goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may. He can shut his mouth. Hallelujah, the devil's mouth is no challenge for the power of God. And all the accusations that he would want to bring against the people of God, the Lord can say, quiet. Put a muzzle on that. And what's the old serpent have to do? He has to slither away. Let me put it to you another way. We talked a moment ago about this woman who had the issue of blood. The Lord undid her knot by what? Oh, He healed her when she touched the hem of His garment. Is that all? Is that all? Was that really that woman's knot? Perhaps you might even say that because this woman was a woman of wealth. How do you say, how do you know that? Because she had substance enough to hire a physician for a period of 12 years. The ordinary person doesn't get to do that. The farmer, the peasant, the fisherman, they don't get to do that. This woman was a woman of wealth. But the Lord in His providence untied that which kept her from coming to Jesus. She came to Jesus and was healed, mostly in her heart and her soul, and was a possessor of everlasting life. The Lord says, thy faith hath made thee. She came to know faith in Christ. What had been keeping her from having that experience with the Lord Jesus? Very possibly her wealth. How did the Lord untie her knot to allow her to come to Jesus? He allowed her to spend everything. She didn't have anything left. She spent it all up. She wasn't made the better until she crawled on her knees through the dust of a street to touch the hem of the robe of righteousness which was to her in that act imparted. Christ's righteousness was given to her. And I'm not saying imparted, and that means it was just He gave her power. No, the imputation of the righteousness of Christ, but the Lord gave her that which was His own. She spent everything. Is that part of the Lord's unraveling the knot? Dissolving the knot? Child of God, even though you could go through... Now, how many of us, let's just ask this honestly, how many of us would go through 12 years of affliction like this woman? Having to find nothing made better, everything made worse, everything that we have, everything that we cherish, it's all going out the door. How many of us would say at the end of that was a good thing? You know what would happen with most of us? We would moan and groan, and then we would try as best we could to have a Job party. Not that we would be as good as Job, but we'd have a party in which we could call all of our friends around us and say, come on, fellas, sit in the dust with me and pity me, will you? Isn't that how we would work? I think most of us so. The Lord Jesus allowed this woman to go through that time. Child of God, the providential hand of God is upon His people for good. And we know all things work together for good. To whom? To those that love God and are called according to His purpose. How long does it take for that good to be seen? Sometimes 12 years! But does it ever fail to come? No, because Jesus never fails to come. Jesus always comes. He is a dissolver of them. We have a helper who is faithful to come. Did the Lord Jesus know where that woman was that day? Oh, yes. And did He say to His disciples, no, I have to walk down this street? Yes, He did. Well, the Lord is crowded down that street. No, I've got to walk down that street. Because there's a woman who's going to make her way through the dust. But Lord, you might be late to get to Jairus' house. That's where you're going, isn't it? Because you have a little girl there who needs you. A girl who was born 12 years ago who now needs the help of God. Yeah, I know about Jairus' daughter, and I'm telling you, the name of the Lord will be glorified through what I do for her. But there's a woman on the street. The same time this little girl was born, she started with a terrible malady. I must go to her. Child of God, do not doubt your Savior. Then the last thing I want us to look at is this. The way. The way. For what does the Lord Jesus look before He unties the knot? What does Christ look for? We said just a moment ago, we have one who will come, and He will. But what does He look for? If you were to look at the Gospel of Mark in chapter 9, you see an incident here or a time when a father brings his son to Christ. What can you say about that son? I think this would be very, very appropriate. You had a boy who was bound, tied and knotted by the power of Satan. A father brings his son. And in Mark 9:23, and Jesus said unto him, and here's the answer to our question, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I say, there is what the Savior is looking for. That's what he saw in the woman who touched the hem of his garment. That's what he saw in Jairus, even though Jairus and the Lord and the disciples were derided because the Lord Jesus happened to say in the presence of mockers that the girl just slept. The Lord Jesus was waiting to see faith. And I say, not general faith. The Lord is not waiting just to see a feeling in you or a convincing within your own soul that everything's going to be all right. That's not what the Lord's looking for. But rather, He is looking for faith in the person of Christ. Yes, faith is an estimation of Christ. Faith says, this is who my heart holds on to. I esteem Him to be that one who will undertake for me. I hold to Him, even if it's by my own thought and feelings, I am only holding on to the hem of His garment. Well, praise the Lord, it's not so much how tight I hold on to the hem of His garment, it's how tight He holds on to me. I'm sure you've all heard that. But what does the Lord want to see? I think this, and here it comes back to my illustration. What did I have to do concerning that knot that I was working over? The time comes you have to say, I give up to this. Oh, child of God, I think the Lord's waiting for you to show that you will indeed cease to work at the knot yourself. That you're Lord, I cannot undo what my heart has done. I cannot undo what my heart is bringing me to. I cannot undo my knot. I can't do it. And Lord, I believe You are the only one, and now I stop. I am stopping trying to do things in my own power, according to my own abilities. I'm stopping. And I'm going to trust in Thee. The woman stopped her positions. She reached out to Christ. The boy's father stopped in everything that he had been. He reached out to Christ. Peter stopped his walking on the water. He started sinking, but what did he do? He reached out to Christ. Lord, You save me. You help me. You undertake for me. I will do what I can. I mean, if the Lord lays on my heart to put away things, to separate myself from things as a part of that which He is doing to undissolve my knot, well, hallelujah, I'll do that. But really, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I'll lift up my eyes to Him. I'll trust in Him. This morning, do you have knots that bind you? Well, I say the message is simple. It's time to come to that one who dissolves them and quit pulling on your string. It's time to come to Christ. It's time to put yourself before Christ. It's time to walk with Him. And it's time to let everything else go. Indeed, may the Lord give us all grace that we find ourselves those who are able to testify, yes, indeed, Jesus has been and is now for me the dissolver of knots. Amen. May God bless His word to our hearts. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we are thankful that there is that one who lives for His people. That one who is able to do far more than what was spoken of Daniel. This one indeed is able to undo the very power of sin. And Lord, we're thankful this morning that Thou hast not withheld Thy Son, but Thou hast given Him to us. And Lord, we pray for His sake now that Thou wilt help these who are thy people, if perhaps their own soul says, Lord, I've been struggling. Lord, I've been defeated in my own soul. I've been bound up by the things that thou dost know well. Lord, help me. Lord, I pray that thou will swiftly come alongside. And may they hear those words that thou didst speak to the leper. I will. I will. O God, I pray now that thou wilt bless thy word to our hearts. I pray that thou wilt continue with us as we walk before thee in this thy day. O God, we pray that thou wilt continue with our hearts and cause us to be able to not just rest in body today, but may we be able to rest in Jesus. And Lord, I pray these things for His name's sake. Amen.